of the first book of Samuel, chapter 22. David, therefore, departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them, and they were with him about 400 men. Now, I want to read another verse with you. You may not turn to it. I'll read it to you because I think that it is very, very interesting, and it's found in the first book of Chronicles, and it's a very, very interesting section after that which we have read together. And verse number 16, and there came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David, and David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if you become peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if you become to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in mine hand, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, thine are we, David, thou son of Jesse, peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them and made them captains of the band. Now, in that which we have read together, relative to God's servant David during the past number of nights and studies, we have been looking at some of the highlights in the life of the man after God's own heart. I think that I suggested to you that the nation of Israel desired a king. They wanted to be like the nations round about them. And the two sons of Samuel, whom he made judges, decided that they would choose for the nation of Israel Saul, the son of Kish. He was a man fair to look upon, head and shoulders above his brethren, and it would seem to me from the reading of the life of Saul, he was a very, very fine man during the early part of his life. But I suppose his heart was bursting with pride when he was anointed king over the nation of Israel. In the 15th chapter of the first book of Samuel, you would find that God is going to give this man another chance. And he sent him to annihilate, to do to the death, to slay, to utterly destroy the Amalekites, who were always enemies of the nation of Israel. They did not help them in their journey through the wilderness and on their way. And so God commanded Saul to go forth with his armies and to annihilate due to the death. Now, I'm not going to question the order of God. God said it. God commanded it. And to me, that was sufficient. And the word of God is very explicit. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. That was the word that Samuel said unto Saul when he returned. It was King Saul that demanded that the very best of the sheep and the oxen be kept, and even King Agag, that the refuge and those that weren't worth very much, they were utterly destroyed. And I think that I see Saul returning after the slaughter of the Amalekites and he realizes that he has to confront God's prophet, Samuel, what will I say unto him? And finally, when he comes into the presence of Samuel, he said, I have obeyed the commandment of the Lord. I have utterly destroyed the people. And said Samuel unto him, what then meaneth then the bleating of the sheep, or the lowing of the oxen that I hear in mine ears? Aha, said Saul, prepared with an answer. He said, you know, the people, not himself, but the people, they fell upon the best of the sheep and the oxen to bring unto thee that thou mayest offer them unto the Lord thy God. Not unto the Lord my God, but unto the Lord thy God. What do you think about that, Samuel? Samuel told him that he was to obey the commandment of Jehovah. And he told him also that disobedience was as the sin of witchcraft, and he told them that to obey was better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And he said, because thou hast disobeyed the word of the Lord, God also hath rejected thee from being king. God gave them a king in his anger, and he took him away in his wrath. We know the story of how Samuel was sent to the home of Jesse. Jesse had 8 sons. And he told him his message, that God had chosen one of his sons to be king, God's anointed king. And there were 8. 7 sons are brought forward. And you know, 7 is a perfect number, isn't it? But it can also be the perfect number of the flesh. And Samuel said, I won't partake of meat until the last son is brought in, the 8th son. Now, the other night we mentioned that God made the world in 6 days and he rested on the 7th day. Everything was perfect. But as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we're needing an 8th man. We're needing a new beginning again. We're needing the last Adam. His number is 8. He rose again the first day of the week. That would be the 8th day. The nation of Israel, you see, they pay attention to the Sabbath. But our blessed Lord, he rose again the first day of the week, and the brethren gathered together on the first day of the week to remember our blessed Lord, and I believe it should be the first day even today. Now then, you know the story, we're not going to go into this morning, how that David became the victim of jealousy, and he had to leave the city. He had a bosom companion by the name of Jonathan, and we have spoken about him. And he loved David. And the soul of David was knit with the soul of Jonathan because he loved them as he loved his own soul. And the one speaking to the other said, thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. Now David has to flee for his life. Saul is determined to annihilate him off the face of the earth. He was a victim of what the world calls a green-eyed monster. And now David has to go forth. And he hides. He was like a hunted animal. And he hid in caves. And he hid in the woods and in the mountain places. But now we follow him. And we follow him to this particular cave. Imagine, if you will, a king in a cave. Usually the dwelling place for a king is in a palace. And he's surrounded with all of the luxury of the palace. He's surrounded by those that will serve him. Those that will do his bidding. The king will give a command and it will be done, or queen. But now I find David, God's anointed king. He's not sitting upon the throne because Saul is determined to annihilate him. He realizes that one day he has a son by the name of Jonathan whom he wants to sit upon the throne. And even though Jonathan and David were bosom companions, and Jonathan stripped himself of his armor, of his princely garments, and he gave him his sword and his bow, and he loved David as he loved his own soul, but there was one thing that Jonathan didn't do. He wasn't prepared to share the rejection of David. He would rather dwell in the city enjoying the luxury of the palace than go forth with his bosom companion while David is fleeing from his father. The time has come now, and I find that David, in order to hide, he goes into a cave called Adullam. Now, I have never been to the Holy Land. Some feel that we know a lot about it. All I know about it is what I read in the Word of God. But I was talking to a dear friend of mine who had a couple of trips over to the Holy Land. And on the Saturday, there wasn't too much to do. I mean, there was no sightseeing trips planned. So he went out and he spoke to a guide. And this guide happened to be an Arab, but he spoke Arabic and he also spoke English. And my friend asked him, he said, do you know where the cave of Adullam is? Yes, he said, I know where it's at, but you don't want to see that place. He said, why? Well, he said, it's a very difficult place to get to. But he said, it's available, I know where it's at. Well, he said, I'd like to go. Well, he said, you'll have to get up early in the morning, and how many people would be coming? And he asked, my friend asked some of the people in the tour, if they would like to go to the cave of Adullam. Well, there were only 5 or 6 of the strongest that offered to go. They got in an old rickety bus, and they started out from Bethlehem, and they went along by the Dead Sea, and I understand that the Dead Sea is about 1,300 feet below the Mediterranean. Everything is poured into the Dead Sea, and nothing gets out. And traveling toward the Dead Sea, and it was very hot, and then the little bus that went off into a certain section, and the road, well, I think it looked, it must have resembled Bay Street, the way that the thing was broken up with all the potholes and was very difficult. And it went along, and then the bus stopped. And all were ordered to get out. Why should we get out of here? My friend said. Well, he said, now you're going to have to walk the rest of the way. They walked about an hour and a half, and it seemed like a day and a half. And finally, the guide stopped. Now, he said, do you see that? He said, what I see? He said, I see a huge boulder, and they crossed over a lot of wadis and a lot of ditches and difficult places to walk. And he said, that's the cave of Adullam. And he gave them a ball of twine to tie around their wrists and a few flashlights, and they came to a little opening. And they had to get on their hands and their knees, and they started to crawl in, and in about 5 or 10 minutes, why, my dear friend, he went out again. He said, I can't make it. The guide said, go a little farther. I think it'll be worth your while. And as they got into that cave, finally they came to a place that was perhaps as big as this building, only the roof was a little higher, and it was the cave of Adullam. And they could look around and they could see the size of the walls. And my friend, I could understand how easy it would be for David to be gathered there with 400 men and with a great place to hide. But he said the bats and the insects that were in that place, he said, I didn't want to stay too long. But he said, I did stay long enough to realize that that was the hold where David was with his friends. Did you notice something? We read together in 1 Samuel chapter 22 that when David came to the cave of Adullam, there were 400 men with him. These were people that loved David. And they were those that were discontented. There were those that were discouraged. There were those that were in debt. But you know, David was happy with those people. They were sharing in his rejection. Could I suggest unto you that when David was in the cave of Adullam, he wrote a psalm. It was Psalm number 34. Thrilling words. As we think of that man of God, as he realized that his delight was in the Lord, and it was there that he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And those people that were with David in the cave were those that were in debt and they were discouraged. We sometimes sing, a debtor to mercy alone, of covenant mercy I sing. No fear with God's righteousness on my person an offering to bring. You and I are debtors alone to the mercy and grace of God. And we came to Him as we were weary and worn and sad. And we found in Him a resting place, and He has made us glad. My mind goes back to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13. And I read a wonderful word there. Let us go forth unto Him outside the camp bearing His reproach. And those that were in debt, those that were discouraged, those that were discontented, they found in David the very center of their gathering. I understand that in the world today, there is something like 2,500 different sects and denominations of Christendom. That was never the will of God. Our Lord Jesus, in His prayer, I'm speaking of the Lord's Prayer. Now that is not the prayer that they taught us in the Anglican Church when I was brought up as a little boy. When the minister, with his robes, he would rise and ask the people to recite, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. That was a prayer, a model prayer, which our Lord gave to the disciples when they said, and after listening to him pray, they said, Lord, teach us to pray.
And he said, when you pray, say, Our Father. Now, I believe that's a good way to pray. We speak to our kind, loving Heavenly Father. But we come into His presence in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, I believe that He's worthy of His full title. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it grieves my heart when I hear people getting up and speaking to dear Jesus, sweet Jesus, lovely Jesus. That was His earthly title. That was His earthly name. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. But God hath made of this Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus, both Lord and Christ. And He's crowned with glory and honor. And He's Lord. And so in His high priestly prayer, in John's Gospel, chapter 17, He prayed at least 5 times over that they may be one. Those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now I believe that to be God's order for the day in which you and I are living. God is choosing out from among the Gentiles a people for His name. Did He not say, upon this rock will I build My church, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Now I believe that every truly born again believer, I care not about the title or the tag that they wear, if they are trusting in the Savior's blood, they are members of the one body. I believe that. But I believe also there is the local assembly. There is the cave of Adullam, where God's beloved people, they gather together today, not in the name of a denomination or a sect. They don't call themselves by any particular doctrine or practice. But they gather in the name, the precious name of God's beloved Son. Did He not say, where 2 or 3 gather together unto My name, there am I in the midst of them. And that's what we were doing this morning as we gathered, so to speak, in the cave of Adullam, a place where our Lord is now rejected. And by the world disowned, by the many still neglected, and by the few enthroned. Ah, but soon He's going to come in power. And those people that shared in the rejection of our blessed Lord, in the cave of Adullam, were the very ones that wore the royal when David came into the position which God anointed him to be. Into the palace. And I think that those that shared in His rejection, they reigned with Him. Ah, they're coming into the blessing of suffering rejection here upon this earth in which you and I live. It must have been a delightful time when even David said, is there any yet left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. And there was one found, and that was Mephibosheth, who at 5 years of age, his nurse let him fall, and he became lame on both his feet. And he lived in a place called Lodibar, and David sent for him, and he fell on his face before David, and he said, who am I that thou shouldest look upon such a D.D. as I am? He got his D.D. degree. He was a dead dog. That's what he said. Who am I that thou lookest upon such a dead dog as I am? And David told him that he would sit at his table continually. And the feet of Mephibosheth were under the table. And David could gaze upon the countenance of Mephibosheth. And all that he could see was the reflection of a Jonathan. Ah, when we sit at the table of our blessed Lord, we might be lame on both our feet. Our walk may not be as we should desire it to be, but beloved, as we sit at the table of our Lord, we are dressed in his righteousness. And our blessed Lord gazes upon us. And he it is that takes our prayers and our praises, and he adds the ingredient of his own sweet perfume, and love the censer raises their odors to consume. That's what happened this morning. Number of years ago, I worked for a very, very fine establishment in the city of Chicago. And why? I don't know why. But they gave me a job in the cosmetic department. Maybe because I was so good looking. I don't know. And they gave me the keys to a very, very important little section of the cosmetic department where they kept some very, very eloquent perfume. Now, they told me that there was some perfume there that sold for $300 an ounce. Now, I know that's the kind that you use, but it was only very special persons that used that kind. And they went into that store to purchase it. One day, I was called to the telephone to someone wanted to talk to me. And a young fellow that was working with me, he got into that little room, and the inevitable thing happened. He lifted up a crate and was marked made in France, and he dropped it, and there was a little vial about this size smashed on the floor. There was a little left in the bottom of the bottle, and as I'm at the telephone, he comes, and what was ever left in that container, he put his arm upon my shoulder, and I had on a little pullover, a little sweater, and wherever I went that day, people got the fragrance, and they looked at me. And they thought that I wasn't a man at all wearing that kind of scent, but nevertheless, there it was. And I didn't know what happened. But I came home on the bus that night, and of course, that entire bus seemed to be impregnated with that lovely scent that I was wearing, and I didn't know it was me. And I came home, and Mother said to me, "Where have you been today?" Well, I said, "I was working." I went to the meeting that night, and there was a prayer meeting, and everybody in the meeting, and the brethren took me to the one side. They said, "George, you know, we know you're a Christian, but, you don't wear that kind of thing." I come home, and I told my mother to wash my little pullover, and she did. And again, the house was impregnated with the odor, that fragrance, and she could never get the fragrance out of my little sweater. When we were here this morning, do you know that the fragrance of your worship, in the hymns that we sang together, and in our worship before the Lord, was taken by the hands of our blessed Lord, and it was presented unto God the Father. And I believe God was perfectly satisfied. So in the cave of Adullam, our heavenly David was perfectly satisfied. David was happy there. And then there came certain captains of the host of Saul, dissatisfied with his regime, and they came and they said, "David, thine are we." And he made them captains. And he went forth conquering to conquer. One of these days, when the king comes, we're going to reign with him. May the Lord help us to share his rejection here. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we recommend us to thyself, asking thy blessing upon thy precious word. We thank thee for the believers here in Shirley Heights, but ask God's blessing upon them. Grant indeed, our Father, that I might be encouraged in the work of God, and they shall reach out to the lost and dying. Remember those children in the Sunday school, as they have listened to the scriptures this morning, grant that they might come to Jesus. Perhaps, our Father, if there be some this morning that have never touched the hem of his garment, that this might be the occasion when they be attracted to him. Receive him as the Savior and Lord of their lives, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.